Mark 12, verses 41 through 44, it's a story we all know. It's also found in the Gospel of Luke. It's often called the widow's mite or the widow's offering. Hear now these words of Scripture. He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." Friends, this is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Let us pray. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, in 2001, I had the wonderful opportunity to go to Africa and to teach stewardship to the United Methodist Church in Mozambique. The first Sunday I was there, I attended worship in one of the neighborhood churches. Now, the official language in Mozambique is Portuguese, so most of the time, I didn't have a clue what was going on. So I relied on the Holy Spirit and the attitude of the people to help me know how to respond. Well, in the middle of worship, suddenly, a big, jubilant party broke out. I didn't know what was happening, except to know that it was really good and exciting and joyous. I looked behind me and I realized that the reason for the celebration was it was time for the offering. And the people in that congregation were responding with gratitude and enthusiasm at this opportunity to give back to God. Even though I was there to teach stewardship to the people of Mozambique, the people of this third world country, the people whose average income is $45 a month, the people who often struggle just to have clean drinking water, taught me a lot about giving. Our giving to God, it shouldn't be a burden. It should be a blessing born out of our gratitude to God and a product of our trust in God. I think a lot of times when we think about our scripture today, we imagine a poor, pitiful, old widow out of obligation giving her last couple of coins. But after being in Mozambique and seeing what giving should look like, I don't think it looked like that at all. I think the widow couldn't wait to get to the offering plate and to put her last two coins in with joy and enthusiasm. And she gave thanks for this opportunity to give back to God. Our giving to God, it doesn't come from altruism or philanthropy. Our giving to God comes from the transforming work of Christ in us and through us. Our giving is the natural outflow of God's presence in us. In fact, 2 Corinthians 9:13 says, "Your giving proves the reality of your faith." Your giving proves the reality of your faith. Our giving is the natural response to the grace of God working in us and through us. We are generous by God's grace. And so in that sense, our giving is limited more by our ability to receive God's grace than by our ability to give. One of the greatest passages on giving in all of Scripture is 2 Corinthians 9:15, which says, and ends, not with, "Hey, congratulations for your generosity," but, "Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God for this indescribable gift." The gift of giving back to God. I think the widow understood the blessing of giving, the blessing of trusting God more than her pocketbook. And she rejoiced in this opportunity to give. How about us? How about us? If Jay had announced today that someone had already given $2.1 million and we didn't need to ask you to give, how would we have reacted? I think perhaps most, if not all of us, would have gone, whew! And we would have cheered and we would have been relieved. And yet, oh, how wonderful it would be, wouldn't it, to do every bit of this? This is so needed. This is so important to making a difference for God. It'd be great to do this. However, if we already had the money and we didn't have to ask you to give, what a blessing we would be missing. What a blessing we would be missing to be a part of making this happen. Giving is one of life's greatest blessings. And I stand before you today as a life that has been so transformed through giving. You see, giving was my biggest obstacle to the fullness of God's grace and love. I found it easy to turn my life over to God as long as I kept control of my checkbook. For most of my life, I worked hard in school in my career to succeed, and I saved as much as I could. I was building a secure financial future for myself, I thought. But my need for financial security began to take control of my life. I would set a savings goal and reach it, only to find that that goal wasn't quite enough. And so I would set another goal and another goal, searching for that place somewhere out there where I would find the security that I longed for. The Romans had a proverb that I certainly found to be true. Money is like seawater. The more you drink, the thirstier you get. The world fills us with if onlys. If only I had a nicer home. If only I had more income. If only I had a better job. If only I had more savings. Then I could be happy. Then I could be secure. Then I could give to the church. But what I found is that the world's if onlys don't bring lasting meaning, purpose, and joy. They just bring more if onlys. Several years ago, the people in my little church were asked to give above and beyond our existing giving to buy a new church van. As I prayed about my commitment, I knew in my heart what God wanted me to give. But I didn't see how I could afford to give that much. So I wrote down an amount that I knew I could afford, not the amount that I knew in my heart that God wanted me to give. I gave based on fear for my own financial security, not faith and trust in God. I walked out of the church that day in tears. I knew I had let God down. I knew I had missed a wonderful opportunity. God had given me his very best, and I had given God my spare change, the leftovers of my life. I had failed to take advantage of a wonderful opportunity to trust God and to express my gratitude to God. My little church did manage to raise enough money for the van, and although, sure, I contributed to its purchase, that van became for me not a symbol of my love and faith for God, but a symbol of my failure to respond to God's call. Whenever I see that van, and of course they have to park it right at the front of the church, so I have to see it every time I go, I am reminded of my unwillingness to follow the prompting of the Holy Spirit and to trust God. I recall how I declined God's invitation to grow in my relationship with God. I remember God's sacrifice for me and my faithless and ungrateful response to that sacrifice. And it still hurts. But our loving God is a God of second chances. A few years later, I was given another opportunity to contribute to a capital campaign at my church to build a Christian Life Center. This time I was determined to give based on faith and trust in God. and out of a spirit of gratitude for all that God has done for me. I struggled, though, with the same doubts and insecurities. I prayed for God to give me the strength and the faith to make the gift that I knew that God was asking of me. I had no idea I was going to give that much on top of my tithe, but God did. God enabled me to give that much and even more. God is so good. My gift not only made a difference for God in the lives of others, but it changed my life. Nothing, absolutely nothing, other than my initial conversion, has been more transforming in my life than my giving to God. I have never been so joyful since I took that step in faith. Through giving, my relationship with the Lord has deepened, and my trust in God's love for me has increased 100-fold. According to Martin Luther, that great Protestant reformer, 3 conversions are necessary in the life of every Christian: the conversion of the heart, the conversion of the mind, and, oh yes, my friends, the conversion of our pocketbooks. It was not until the conversion of my pocketbook that I felt the fullness of God's grace and love. And that is what I wish for you. We have a wonderful opportunity here at Pleasant Grove United Methodist Church to make a difference for God and to change lives forever through God's vision, the next chapter. One day, generations yet unborn will thank God for us and the step in faith we are taking. And I can hardly wait to offer my gift next week, because even though I live in Florida, I want to give back to God and to be a part of making a difference for our living Lord through this wonderful community of faith, which is making such a difference. I want to continue to grow in my relationship with God and to reduce my dependence on the world and the things of this world. I want to trust God more than I trust my pocketbook. I want to prepare the way for future generations by sharing some of what God has entrusted to me. I prayed our prayer, and if you haven't prayed our prayer yet, won't you begin praying it? It's right here on this banner and on your bulletin. Lord, what do you want to do through me to fulfill your will for Pleasant Grove United Methodist Church? And I have heard God's answer, and so I will respond and give in faith and trust in God. And I give thanks for this opportunity to give back to God. I'd like to close today by reading a beautiful story from the book Chicken Soup for the Senior Soul, one of those chicken soup books, Chicken Soup for the Senior Soul, about the joy of giving. I'll never forget Easter 1946. I was 14, my little sister Osie was 12, and my older sister Darlene was 16, lived at home with our mother, and the four of us knew what it was like to do without my dad. Dad died 5 years before, leaving Mom with no money and 7 school-age kids to raise. A month before Easter, the pastor of our church announced that a special holiday offering would be taken to help a poor family. He asked everyone to save and give sacrificially. When we got home, we talked about what we could do. We decided to buy 50 pounds of potatoes and live on them for a month. This would allow us to save $20 of our grocery money for the offering. Then we thought if we kept our electric lights out as much as possible and didn't listen to the radio, we'd save money on that month's electric bill. Darlene got as many house and yard cleaning jobs as possible, and both of us babysat for everyone we could. That month was one of the best of our lives. Every day we counted the money to see how much we'd saved. At night we'd sit in the dark and talk about how the poor family was going to enjoy having the money the church would give them. We had about 80 people in the church, so we figured whatever amount of money we had to give, the offering would surely be 20 times that much. I mean, after all, every Sunday the pastor had reminded us to save for the sacrificial offering. The night before Easter, we were so excited we could hardly sleep. We didn't care we wouldn't have new clothes for Easter. We had $70. $70 for the sacrificial offering. We could hardly wait to get to church. When the offering was taken, Mom put in the $10 bill. And each of us three kids put in a $20 bill. We sang all the way home from church. At lunch, Mom had a surprise for us. She had bought a dozen eggs, and we had boiled Easter eggs with our fried potatoes. Late that afternoon, the minister drove up in his car. Mom went to the door and talked with him for a moment, then she came back with an envelope in her hand. We asked what it was, but she didn't say a word. She opened the envelope and out fell a bunch of money. There were three crisp $20 bills, one $10 bill, and 17 $1 bills. Mom put the money back in the envelope. We didn't talk. We just sat and stared at the floor. We had gone from feeling like millionaires to feeling poor. We kids had such a happy life. We felt sorry for anyone that didn't have our mom and our late dad for parents and a house full of brothers and sisters. We thought it was fun to share the silverware and see whether we got the spoon or the fork that night. I knew we didn't have a lot of things that other people had, but I never thought we were poor. That Easter day, I found out we were. The minister had brought the money for the poor family, so we must be poor. I thought, I didn't like being poor. I looked at my dress and worn-out shoes and felt so ashamed I didn't even want to go back to church. Everyone there probably already knew we were poor. Sat in silence for a long time. Then it got dark and we went to bed. All that week, we girls went to school and came home and no one talked much. Finally, on Saturday, Mom asked us what we wanted to do with the money. What did poor people do with money? We didn't know. We'd never known we were poor. Didn't want to go to church, but Mom said we had to. Church, we had a missionary speaker. Talked about how churches in Africa made buildings out of sun-dried bricks, but they needed money to buy roofs. He said, $100 will put a roof on a church. The minister added, can't we all sacrifice to help these poor people? We looked at each other and smiled for the first time in a week. Mom reached into her purse and pulled out the envelope. She passed it to Darlene. Darlene gave it to me, and I handed it to Osie. Osie put in the offering. When the offering was counted, the minister announced it was a little over $100. The missionary was so excited, hadn't expected such a large offering from our small church. He said, you must have some rich people in this church. Suddenly it struck us. We had given $87 of that little over $100. We were the rich family in the church. We were the rich family in the church. And the missionary said so. From that day on, I have never been poor again. 2 Corinthians 6:10. As sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Loving God, without you we were poor, but now we are rich indeed. Thank you for all the blessings of this life, our families, our friends, our church, especially for the gift of your Son, who gave himself completely for us. Help us, O God, to love you with our whole heart and to give ourselves completely to you. Help us to earnestly pray, Lord, What do you want to do through me to fulfill your will for Pleasant Grove United Methodist Church? And to hear your answer in the stillness of our hearts, and to respond to you out of love and gratitude for all our many blessings. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, amen.